Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, to discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives and many times don't know where to turn or what to do. That's why we're here. If there's something you need to talk about, let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. On social media outlets, they call Thursday Throwback Thursday, and you see all kinds of pictures of folks when they were 30 years ago or 50 years ago,
and when they were thrown back.
Sometimes it's scary. Today, I decided to participate in Throwback Thursday, but I went back to a book that was very meaningful to me some 30 years ago, and I found this quote, and I think it's very appropriate. It's this: if God has forgiven you, walk like a forgiven man. Nothing will thrill the Lord more than knowing that you believe you are clean as he says you are.
Yeah.
What a powerful quote.
Indeed.
If God has forgiven you, walk like a forgiven man. Mm-hmm. Well, the guy who wrote that was a guy named Dan DeHaan. The book was The God You Can Know. I don't think it's in print anymore. Dan was a Bible teacher of a Bible study that I went to in my college days, and it's where my life got turned around, where my eyes were opened up to the Word of God. And he was an amazing teacher of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is one of those passages, one of those quotes that really touched me in a deep, deep way, way back when.
Yeah.
But if God's forgiven you, walk like a forgiven man. And that changes everything in our relationship with God and our relationships with others. It helps us to understand others and not jump on their back so quickly, not to let our anger fly, and to keep our rudeness intact. And that's what we're talking about today. Rudeness is number 4 on the list of relationship destroyers. And I know I can be rude sometimes with my tone. And Gina and I can have a conversation, or our kids can be involved in the conversation, and all of a sudden I come out with something that sounds rude. It just has that harsh tone to it, and everything stops. I mean, it just throws cold water on the whole situation. And what it does is make them feel really small.
Yeah.
It belittles them. That's what rudeness does. And there's no way that that's going to be helpful in building a healthy, positive relationship. And so we need to understand that. And only as we abide in the love of God, only as we walk like we're truly forgiven people, will we be able to see rudeness that is so, much a part of our fleshly reaction and responses be put under the control of God's Spirit.
Yeah.
So rudeness is one of those relationship killers, and love is not like that.
That's exactly
not like
right.
that at all.
Yeah, and those are things we really don't need any help promoting for sure.
Yeah, that's right.
1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call to the U.S. and in Canada. This is Basic Gospel, of course. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. That's why we do it live every day, so you can come in and share your thoughts. 1-800-677-9377. Call now.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Peter, who's listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Yesterday, you had a gentleman call in. He was having a hard time, as well as myself, like with sin. And then I was thinking of Hebrews 4, verse 15. I have my earpiece on right now. I'm driving. I can't read it out loud. But I know it's talking about Christ as the high priest, and you can go to him within the weakness, and then he's without sin. I don't know if you have it in front of you.
I do, and let me just read it for our listeners. This is Hebrews 4:15. It's a wonderful passage. It says this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." And I think that's a powerful verse. We get tempted almost every single day of our lives, and we are weak, and we often give in to that. But Jesus never did. And I think there's a couple of takeaways from this particular verse that are directly applicable to our day-to-day living. First, we can never say to Jesus that you don't understand. And that's one of the excuses. You know, I'm going to go forward with this because, Jesus, you just don't know how I feel. Jesus, you just don't understand what's really going on the inside. Jesus, you just don't understand what's really going to make me happy. Well, I think this verse kind of eliminates all of that type of thinking. Jesus does understand.
Right. Yes.
He knows what it means to be tempted. And the fact that he never gave in, Peter, tells you that Satan unleashed the full arsenal for you, for me.
Hey, right.
He just needs conventional warfare. But with Jesus, he brought out the nuclear stuff. And Jesus was without sin. So he knows the full extent of temptation. He knows the lengths that Satan will go to try to get us off of our walk of faith in Jesus Christ. So he understands. And so we can go to him with confidence and find mercy and help and grace in our time of need. That's the takeaway. We have somebody that knows us perfectly, knows us best, who loves us, who we can be open and transparent with, and in so doing, we can find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need.
That's Christianity.
That's Christianity, you know, right there.
That's all thumbed up, and, you know, that's what, you know, that's our defeat is Satan.
Yes, indeed.
Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Well, Peter, thanks for thinking about the guy who called in yesterday and
wanted to pass
on a word of encouragement.
As well as myself, and I'm sure millions of other Christians, we battle our own sin, you know, and it's tough. But knowing that we could go to Christ, suffered, died, and the resurrection, and, that's all.
Well, that's exactly right, Peter. Well, thank you. And
have a great day. You as well.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377, time and open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Renee, listening to us in Teaneck, New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Renee.
Hello. God bless you.
And to you.
My question is about... Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, brothers. My question is about gambling. Now, I was always taught that gambling is a sin. Going to Atlantic City, the casinos, which I have done, playing the lottery, which I have done, especially when it's very high. But also, is this considered gambling? Well, let's say there's a raffle, and you fill out a ticket, and you win a prize, or you fill out your name and information for the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. Is that gambling, too, and is that a sin?
Well, Renee, I don't think I would call those particular things gambling necessarily. When you're gambling, when you're going into a casino, when you're doing something, your winnings are going to come out of the pool of all the money that's been put into the pot.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So,
like if you play blackjack at the casino, or
yeah,
just a slot machine.
Well, other people are playing blackjack. They're betting that they can beat the house and win some money. Well, the house money comes from all the other people that are gambling. So there's lots of people in there that are betting that they can beat the house. They're hoping their ship will come in. They're hoping for riches quickly, and all of that attitude really is against what the Spirit of God is going to be leading you to do, and the attitudes that he's going to be developing in you as far as money is concerned and stewardship is concerned. So as far as gambling is concerned, I always ask a question like this. Do you believe the Holy Spirit would lead you to gamble?
Truly, I do not. Okay. I may want to do it because there's some fun and excitement with it. But truly, I do believe that the Holy Spirit is not leading Christians, God's people, in that direction.
Yeah. Well, I think to me that's the answer to the question. If you gambled, if you've gone into a casino Does that mean you're going to lose your salvation? Absolutely not. What that means is that God is going to work. If he's alive living in you, Renee, he's going to be working in your heart to bring your attitudes toward money into alignment with what the Word of God has to say about money, and to a real attitude of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people gamble because it's fun. I think the vast majority of people gamble because they're hoping to get rich quick.
So I guess it would be the same for like the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes, because you do put your name down information for money, or maybe a raffle ticket.
That's a contest. I mean, they're putting up the money. The business is putting up the money, and really it's just a marketing ploy so that you'll buy their magazines.
Right, right.
I mean, that's what they're interested in.
So it's a contest, which is different from gambling.
That's how I would differentiate it. Somebody else may lump it all together as one, and certainly it's not something worth arguing over. But the fact is, somebody could win a lottery. Somebody could win the publisher's clearinghouse. Usually, those people who do, they lose all that very quickly, and trouble multiplies in their life. It doesn't make life easier. It doesn't make life smoother. It doesn't make life more fun. Usually what happens is trouble multiplies in those particular people's lives. Stories are just out there one after another of somebody winning the lottery, and a year later they are in the poorhouse because they haven't learned to manage it, or because there have been vultures that have been started circling around, trying to get their hands on that, and they've fallen prey to a lot of those vultures. We have to realize that God is supplying all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And so we just need to trust him in that regard.
I understand.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, good.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, appreciate the question. And like I said, I like to answer a lot of things like this with that question I ask you. Do you believe the Holy Spirit would lead you to do that? And if
right.
you say no, I think that's the answer to your question.
All right. Yes, I do understand. Okay. Thank you, brothers. And once again, God bless you.
Well, thank you, Renee. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. I think you'll really enjoy reading it. It's a short book, but it really connects you with the love of God. And one thing we know, that it's hard to trust somebody if you're not sure if they love you or not. And this will, I think, erase any doubts in your mind and let you know that God is for you, that he loves you with every ounce of his being, and he's demonstrated that to you in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is.
And Bob, of course, and Richard, our listeners, we have a copy for you for a gift of any amount to the ministry. The bottom line is, we would love for you to be a part of this ongoing support of this ministry. There's nothing more important than connecting people to the love of Jesus Christ. That's the important relationship right there, and we want to connect you to him. And if you would like to make a gift and support that, we would love for you to do that. And we'll give you a copy of Bob's book, Love Is, for a gift of any amount. And all you need to do is go online to basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator. That number again, 800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. I want to remind our listeners as well of our upcoming event, a conference stand. 2014, June 19th through the 21st, right here in Dallas, Texas, at the beautiful Hope Center. Wonderful, wonderful venue. But Renee asked a very important question. How are we to live this Christian life? Well, we're to live the Christian life being led by the Spirit of God. Well, that's what this conference is all about. That's where you find solid footing in this broken world, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in faith in the risen Christ who's alive living in you and allowing him to lead you and guide you in every area. So that's what this conference is all about. Make plans to join us. I think it's going to be over the top good. I know the venue is amazing. The music is going to be amazing. The fellowship is going to be amazing. We have lunches and food, and that's going to be amazing. And it's just going to be one of those conferences that you'll want to be there.
And you guys who are the speakers are not going to isolate yourself from those who attend.
Absolutely
that's
not.
That's one of the points that John Lynch made as we were speaking with him the other day. So that's
well, we want the fellowship just as much as anybody. This right. this is meaningful to us. It's going to be a ministry into our lives. Hopefully what we say is going to be a ministry into the lives of those that are there. Mm-hmm. But it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. June 19th through the 21st, all the information is at stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. It's time to register, folks. The time is creeping up on us. It'll be here before you know it. So go ahead and make plans to be with us. The price is right. You can't find a conference that is of such value as this for the price. So come be a part of it.
June 19th through the 21st, right here in the Dallas area.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go talk to William in the Bronx. Hi, William.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you today, my friend?
Thank you. I'm doing great in the Lord.
Well, excellent.
I don't really have a question. I just wanted to say that I'm so glad that you're back in the New York area. And prayerfully and hopefully people will support you and you can stay in the area this time.
Well, thank you, William. I appreciate that. Yeah. And so far, there have been many New York friends that have stepped up and said, we want to stand with you to keep the good word going out on the airwaves on WMCA, and we're grateful for those partnerships. Certainly, we need more people in New York to do that. And, you know, a gift of $25 a month does a lot of good. Not only for this ministry, but for people there in New York being able to hear the good news and connect them to the love of Jesus Christ. So, William, thanks for your kind words.
Yeah,
we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And thank you, sir, and have a wonderful day.
Well, we sure will. And I'll put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is, as well, okay?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome, William.
Yes, and time remaining on the clock and open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Raymond, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. How are you today?
Oh, real good.
Well, how can we help you? What's on your mind?
I don't drive anymore, and I ride the bus a lot, and I see all these don't drink and drive signs where somebody has died on the side of the road, getting hit by a car, having a car accident. And I find it very saddening, and so I try to say a little prayer, like I hope that, you know, bless their soul, I hope they're in heaven. And I was just wondering if that does any good or if that's the right thing to do.
Well, Raymond, as far as the person that died, you know, their destiny is sealed at that point. They were either in Christ or they weren't in Christ. So the prayer isn't going to change anything as far as they're concerned. But I think it's from your vantage point, there's something powerful that happens inside of you. And I think that's the real purpose of prayer is how it affects us on the inside. I think as you ride those buses, as you see those signs, you're starting to get a glimpse of what God sees in the world and all the pain and tragedy and sorrow and suffering that people experience who live on planet Earth. And so I think as you pray, you're starting to feel his heart more and your heart starting to beat, you know, along with his heart. And I think that's a positive and powerful thing that you're experiencing there, Raymond.
That's a big comfort to me. Although I try to help others and think of others, but that sounds good to me.
Yeah. Well, so, and I think that's why God tells us to pray, because we need to pray. It's a need that we have. And in praying, I think God does something in our hearts that we couldn't do otherwise. Richard, do you have some thoughts on prayer? And
well, I love the way Raymond stated that. You know, he sees those. It makes him think of people. God is using this to soften his heart.
Yes.
So, you know, so that he cares about other people. That's a perfect reason to pray. You know, it really is communication with God between me and him. Think about that privilege. And so just keep doing it. You know, just whatever the Spirit leads you to do, the Spirit is going to do it.
I can find myself praying out in any situation, waiting in line or waiting on the bus. There's always time to say a prayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it talks about praying without ceasing. And we can do that because God is alive living in us. That's the good news of the gospel. We who were dead in sin were made alive in Christ. And when that happened, Christ sent his Spirit to take up residence in us. God is always with us. Jesus is always with us. His Spirit is always with us. So we always have that opportunity to talk with him and to express our hearts to him. And certainly you're taking advantage of that, Raymond. And that's a wonderful blessing for you.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book. Maybe you can read this on the bus as well. So and pass it along to others. So you hang on, Raymond, okay?
Nice call from Raymond.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Well, let's go back to New York and talk with John. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you doing?
I just quickly wanted to
say something in reference to the lady was asking about gambling, because I just did a little bit of looking up and studying on that myself. And I just wanted to share a couple of things with her, if she's still listening. You can write down Proverbs 16:20, Proverbs 13:11, Proverbs 23:5. And basically, these are telling us that God takes care of our needs, just like you said, and he does not look at gambling as a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. If you want to do it, you do it. But in most cases, it'll be wasted when you get money illegally, and that's what God sees a person doing, getting money illegally. When people who cannot afford it, going trying to make more money, and they says money's the root of all evil anyway, so you really shouldn't be doing it. Okay, it's nothing against it now, don't get me wrong, because just like you go watch a ball game, that's throwing away money too. If you go to a movie, that's throwing away money too. So if you go at a leisurely once in a while and try to get lucky, okay, that's just like going to the movie and wasting money also. But really, if you look at those verses, you'll really be surprised what they're telling you. And on the end, it's telling you that anything that you don't do by work, it's going to eventually be burned up. And the only thing that really can satisfy us is God.
Absolutely.
God says he will take care of all our needs, and he will never leave us or forsake us. So that's where we got to put all our effort. Every bit of our effort we got to look to him. Okay, that's it. I just wanted to, hopefully that would be good for people, because so many people go trying to get rich and stuff like that, and
absolutely.
They just don't realize.
Well, John, let me tell you, that will preach what you just said, and I appreciate you jumping on and sharing those passages in Proverbs. Boy, there's a lot of wisdom there for us just on living day-to-day life. So, John, we sure appreciate you, and thank you for being a part of Basic Gospel today. Let me put you on hold as well.
Yes, indeed. And friends, as we have noted, and you probably noticed on your own, relationships can be challenging. For sure, they'll test your beliefs and reveal what's going on inside of you. But when there's unity, relationships can bring strength, meaning, and joy to your life. But you know what? Your relationship will only find that unity and strength when they stand on the foundation of God's love. And right now, we're once again, as Bob mentioned, offering a great resource that will help you grow and live out the love of God in your relationships. It's Bob's book called Love Is, and it's yours with our thanks for your gift to help connect people to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel. Just click the link at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. And to make your gift and request your copy of Love Is by Bob Christopher. Also want to remind you once again of our Bible conference, Stand 2014. It's coming up June 19th through the 21st, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. For information and registration, just visit the website, stand2014.com. Hope many of you folks outside the Dallas area and across the country are going to be able to make your plans to be with us because it's going to be a fantastic time, and hope you can be a part of it. So now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Friday edition of Basic Gospel.